It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. So glad that you've joined us today, and I hope that you enjoy it. But if you would like to contact us or write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43. Of course, that's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to contact us on our website or look to our website, it would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one of those will work just fine. So I hope that you do. I'd love to hear from you. It's always good to know that you're listening, and pray that you receive a blessing from the study that we have today. Again, that you not only will know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and come to know Him maybe through these studies, or someone else has shared the gospel with you and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you have already been born again and you love the Lord and you just enjoy growing and studying the Word of God. I hope that these are a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin reading now with the 37th verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And I have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. We're going to end with that verse 44 today. We're going to begin with prayer after the reading of the word. Father, I thank and praise you that we have an opportunity to study your precious word and enjoy it. I just ask, Father, that you'll guide and lead us through these precious words. Make it a special day that we spend with you. We can come and enjoy your word and listen carefully. Let the Spirit have his perfect will. And that perfect will is that, Father, that those that are listening will surrender to you, give their hearts to you, and begin to walk with you each and every day. Father, your Son Jesus died on the cross to save us, took all of our sins away, and we must come by faith, believe in that opportunity, that wonderful chance that we have, a gift that's given, and we just need to accept that gift and not take something that is so wonderful and waste it by not accepting it. So, Father, please, today, help those that are listening to come, trust in you, and walk with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. It seems that should be very simple, but it's not. We've covered it quite a little already in past studies, but it's just for us to take a look at this. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. When you give someone your word, stand by it. there's no reason to have to swear or give an oath. Let your word be good. Sometimes, you know, we try to make a promise with someone and we can't keep it, but when that takes place, why, please try to speak and let them know that, hey, I've got a conflict, I can't come, or I can't carry this out. Try to be as forward and as honest as you can be. The Jews, we know that they had kind of changed, and they could swear by the earth or by Jerusalem or by their own head. They would make these promises, but by not swearing by God, that was somewhere that then they didn't necessarily have to keep it. As long as they didn't say the word God, then they could opt out of it in some manner or another. And so, you see, if your word isn't any good, then you're really not of much value. So please, try to walk each day and serve the Lord each day. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and let your word be right. It continues here in great teaching as our Lord shows us His precious word here as Jesus is speaking and teaching, and as He is such a wonderful teacher. There's nothing doesn't give folks more joy than to teach someone something, and something of truth, something that helps them, something that builds them up. And this words here are just wonderful as we study them. In verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then it just continues down here. But the whole purpose of these verses of Scripture is for the judges. This is not for a personal decision. In other words, if someone does something to me, then I have the right to return that. The Lord has given these words, His word, to help the judges to make better judgment calls. In other words, the penalty must, the crime and the penalty that that person pays for that crime must be equal. And that's what it's saying here. It needs to be equal. Now, we have some Old Testament scripture verses back here that we're going to read and enjoy today. Exodus chapter 5. I'm sorry, Exodus. We're in Matthew chapter 5, Exodus chapter 21, verse 23 through 25. Just listen to some of the words that were given unto Moses to be given to the people. Exodus 21:23, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, or stripe for stripe. And you can see right there that we need to be equal. And we continue with much the same here, but you'll find it also here in Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. Beginning to read with verse 18. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. If a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as it hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. This is not given as personal revenge. This is not done out of wrath. This is something that the Lord has given for man to be able to judge man. And whatever the harm that was done, the penalty should match that. One more Old Testament scripture for us to look at is in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 19:21. Deuteronomy 19:21, much the same, thy eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. I hope that you understand, because this has been used so many times or misused so many times, when someone does something for someone. Well, the word says eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Yes, it does. But that is not for us to carry out personally. It is for us to have a understanding of how the punishment should be. It shouldn't be more than that. If an eye is taken, then you don't take an eye and then a leg or an arm or a hand. It needs to be fitting. And that's what this is saying. But it is to be controlled and taken care of by the judges, by the magistrate, by officials of the law, not by some private person or not by private conduct. So I hope that you can see that. I hope that helps you to understand. Yes, those words are right and true, but they are not for a person that has had misjustice done to them, for them themselves to go out and make it right. The Lord has given us laws and judges and justice to be carried out properly without the side of anger and wrath that comes with that when someone does harm us. Verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Once again, the laws of God, as well as the laws of man, the laws of nature, we are not to take this once again as a private revenge here. This is something that's very difficult. If you smite thee on the right cheek, turn to the other also. If someone does harm to your family, there are laws. And for you to defend yourself, to defend your family from harm, from danger, is right, is the way that it should be. And so please do not look for this as something that you just turn away from. Again, it's not for the use of personal revenge. It is for the purpose of the law to give out the right decision. However, here, when it talks about the smiting of the right cheek and turn to the other, whosoever shall smite, this is talking about something lighter. In other words, you get your feelings hurt, or someone it would lightly abuse you. Not that if someone would shoot you, you should turn to the other side to let them shoot you again. That's not at all what it's talking about. What it's talking about, and again here with a slap of the face, you let me know who has died lately with being slapped in the face. It doesn't happen. And so the purpose of this is to understand that when someone maybe says some evil words to you, or someone does a slight harm to you, please, that you would not be angry, but you're able to look the other way. And that's what this is talking about. Is it humiliating? Yes. But this should all be to the glory of God, that you don't lose your temper or get angry when someone would do something or slight you in some way or another, that you can turn the other way. And God gets the glory when that happens. Again, is it humiliating? Yes, it is. But is it life-threatening? No, it's not. God wants us to be humble. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be long-suffering. He wants us to be gentle. But that does not mean that we should be weak in any way. In other words, don't let someone abuse you, but at the same time, don't immediately be angry and immediately lose your temper. Stand for the truth. You know, defend yourself, defend your family if they're in danger, but at the same time, don't let those little things get you and eat at you and continue to where it builds up to a point of wrath, please. Let's look at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Annas commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" You see, Paul knew when the time was to speak or when to be quiet. And Paul, I believe, through the Spirit, God showed him the hearts of these. And he knew where their heart was and the wickedness that they had towards Paul's God, not towards Paul. And see, there's the difference. Do we take all these things personally? We need to recognize when it is something that is said and done against our God, or is it something that just hurts our feelings? And so this is the reason for this scripture here. And so understand, again, you've heard people say, you know, pick your battles. Well, that's somewhat what this is saying. But also is that don't let those little things get you. But here, where it came to the judgment of Paul, he stood up and he stood for his God and took care of things properly. So please, seek the will of God, the Holy Spirit, and let him lead. And then you'll know what to do and what to say and when to do and when to say it. Verse 40, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Once again, this is for the judges. As the judge would come and make a ruling. In other words, someone doesn't come up and say, "I want your coat," which is the, in this case here, is the inner. It would be if it was winter time and I had a coat on, and they would come and take my shirt, and so then I would give them my coat, my outer coat, because that's what the cloak is. And so here, once again, this is not something that is personal. This is something that the judges are to rule on. And we pray that we have good judges. In today's life and world, we're finding that the judicial system lacks the truth many times. It is controlled by deception and by many words that are said that twist the truth to a point, and so it's kind of hard for us today, with the condition that our judicial system is in, to think that we're going to get a fair shake. But we're to trust our judges and the judicial system. Let them work as they should. Let God answer to those judges or lawyers that are doing things in a deceptive manner. Let God deal with them, and let us trust what the Lord has put before us, which is a form of government and of judges to make these rulings, to where it's not something that is done one-on-one, not something that's done personally. So we find here of this example that as the judge rules, not a private differences that we have, but a judgment, a suit. And if they rule against us, we are to give them what they ask for, and don't be afraid of giving a little more. Because so often, when a judgment takes place, maybe the person that sued you didn't get what they thought they should. And so it continues, lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. But when you give what is required of you, plus you give more, there isn't much they can say or do. Now, the problem comes here, and that is that if this is among believers, and this should never happen, it does, but it should not. Never should a believer sue another believer. It should never get to the court system. We have a little bit of an example here in the Scripture. The Scripture confirms Scripture, and I love to go through the Word of God. And we have here 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hope you have an opportunity to turn to these Scripture verses as we're studying them. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? That's the question. Why are you taking this to the law, to the government, and why aren't you dealing with this amongst yourself? So we know here we're talking about believers. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is no wise man among you? No, not one that can be able to judge between his brethren, talking about believers. But brethren goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Sad statements there in 1 Corinthians. What was happening, there'd be a fuss or a fight between two brethren many times within the church, and it would end up in the court system. And he says, why do you want someone that is an unbeliever come and make a decision between the two of you? Is there no one within the church body that is wise and come and would take care of this property? Is there no one there? Why do you want to bring your dirty laundry and throw it out amongst the world to disgrace the church and disgrace our God? That's the statement that's made there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And that's a very good question. If there is not wisdom enough within the church, having the Holy Spirit to be our guide and leader, why do we think we can go out into the world and let the unbeliever judge us? Don't let that happen. It's better for you to back away and say, I'll take all responsibility, I'm sorry, and just back away from it. It's better to do that than it is to end up with this. And you're going to find folks that do not desire the Word of God, do not desire the will of God, even when they're a believer. And that's sad. They want justice. Please, don't let that take place. That should never happen. It does, but it should not happen. We continue here, and again, this is still the same. This maintains the judges. People take all these things very personal. Whosoever shall compare thee to go a mile, go with thee with him twine. Do twice, compel. To make one a public carrier is the definition here. But here the term really applies to coercing or compelling. But it is involved with a public service. In other words, something through the judicial system. Matthew 27, we're going to turn over there, verse 32. Matthew 27, verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Now, we know that story. Jesus was unable to carry his cross physically. He had been so beaten. And physically, he could not carry his cross. So they compelled Simon to carry the cross. And so he was compelled by the public authorities. And so for him to do this, he was going to carry that cross every foot that needed to go. And when someone in public service asks for you to do something, this brings honor and glory unto God when we go the extra mile. Now, this is public service. Go the extra mile. God will be honored. God will be glorified. As we return now back to chapter 5, verse 42, continues, give to him that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You know, this sometimes is kind of a tough one, because you see folks sometimes that you think, well, you know, what they have and the way they're living, yes, they're probably hungry. But they deserve it. I mean, you look at how they've squandered and wasted things. Question was asked, you know, they're asking for food, but are they really going to go out and buy beer or drugs and continue that lifestyle? Well, we have the Holy Spirit. And when it's someone that is an habitual beggar, we are not to give them, and 2 Thessalonians, and we'll kind of start there. We've got 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, and we'll kind of continue here with how to give and how to help. But it is, in normal cases, better to give and let them be responsible for us to not give and make a bad decision. So many things here. I'm glad that you've joined us today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?